We get things underway by talking a little Boston Bruins hockey as we're joined by our friend Ty Anderson of 98.5 The Sports Hub in Boston. Hello, Ty.
Hey, how's it going today?
Well, going very well, thanks. And well, good to see the Bruins found their offense. All it took was playing the Flyers a couple times.
Yeah, right. You go from scoring four goals in three games to 10 over over two. So not a bad weekend for them. The Flyers obviously have some issues, but I think this really was about the Bruins playing with more energy, more urgency, and finally getting some luck to go their way, which, as we know, is a huge part of their game. Any team's game, when they're rolling, you get those bounces. So they got the bounces, but they were also creating them. So all in all, a great weekend for them, I thought.
And one of the things that I thought was a big positive was how many different people got involved in the offense.
Yeah, you had, I think it was eight different players had a point on Thursday night, and I want to say 10 had at least a point on Saturday, so it was a good balance there, right? And you're looking at some of the guys that were scoring, your Craig Smith, Charlie Coyle, Trent Frederick, all on the same line. That was a great line. Nick Ritchie still playing well. Jacob Zboril gets on the board with his first point. So it was just a great team effort, and I think that's sort of what you need, right? We look at what's been the problem in years past, has been they've been a one-line team. What we saw over the weekend, or Thursday and Saturday, was not one line. You had all four rolling, all four making a difference. If they weren't scoring, they were drawing penalties, things of that nature. So, really, this is what they've been waiting for. It is only five games in, but still, it felt like a long time coming for this team.
And we knew it would just be a matter of time, but seeing Bergeron and Marchand click the way they did certainly bodes well going forward.
Oh, absolutely. I think especially when you look at their start to the year, right, is that they didn't have a great fit on their first line with Stadnica or with Bjork. They put DeBrusk there. It's been a little bit better. But when you have that 1-2 going, when they're going and then you find that secondary scoring, that's really what makes them dangerous, I think. But especially Bergeron and Marchand, what they do in all three zones, I mean, it really can't be emphasized enough how important that is. When they are a buzzsaw, I mean, nobody can match them. No defense, especially one of the Flyers, had a prayer against that unit. For 120 minutes, it was just pure domination from them. So you really like to see that, and you hope it comes back here now that Pasternak is around the corner here, it seems.
Connor Clifton also saw his first action of the season. How would you grade his performance?
Pretty solid, I thought. It's tough for him. He had a down year last year, only played 30 games. Looked like himself in the playoffs, but had injuries and inconsistencies in the regular season. He begins the year out of the mix, which is always tough for a younger player. I thought he stepped in, grabbed a hold of the opportunity. What you like about Clifton is that, he's very in your face. He's very aggressive at all times. I think when he's playing his brand of hockey, it's very sort of, they call him cowboy, right? Because it's just totally different than what you're used to seeing. But I thought he played a phenomenal game in terms of his role, playing it offside, playing the left side versus the right, and for it being his first game competitively, in almost 6 months' time, basically.
Maybe the best part was that you didn't have to go overtime. I thought for a while there that every game this season was going to end with a shootout.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's huge, too, because this is a division-only schedule. So you really can't be spotting the teams you're competing with a point here or there. It's great if you win it in overtime, but you're still giving a team a point, right? So you really want to make sure that you avoid these three-point games, that you're finding ways to close teams out in regulation. And I thought that they did a great job of that on Saturday. They get the two-goal lead after 40 minutes of play. That was their first multi-goal lead of the season, and then they keep it going. They don't take their foot off the gas. So I thought that you saw that killer instinct in terms of winning in regulation on Saturday for probably the first time all season.
We're talking with Ty Anderson here on Downtown. And I look at this schedule, and you mentioned the division-only schedule, and because I'm old enough that it takes me back to the days of the six-team National Hockey League, and I feel like those great rivalries are going to really emerge because, you get that chance to play a team so often that you remember taking that elbow to the back of the head last time. It's always fresh in your mind, and I feel like that's going to give us an intensity that you might not see under a normal NHL schedule.
Oh, 100%. I mean, I've always been a big fan of divisional games. I think there should be more of them. With the 82-game schedule, you were down to playing your divisional teams only four or five times a year. That's not enough. You need to face them six or seven, in my opinion. We get eight this time. That's great. It does remind me of I think the last year he had this was probably 07-08. He had the Bruins and Canadiens playing eight times, and they met in the playoffs. You know, and every game was like a war because, to your point, you had that rivalry, right? You had Lucic versus Komisarek. You had Plekanec against Krejci. You had all these rivalries that wouldn't necessarily be there if you only played each other four times. So I'm a big fan of this. I hope they actually keep it. I know they're not going to because of what, you know, when things get back to normal here. But it's huge. Having that familiarity, and especially with the playoff format the way it is, you know, you make teams go through their division. It makes a lot of sense to have more divisional games if that's the case. So it's one of the things that I hope they look at here and find something that works and stick with it.
Pittsburgh Penguins come to town tomorrow night, and the Bruins have had great success, particularly at home against them of late. What is it that makes the Bruins achieve so much success against this Penguins team?
Well, for years it was Chara on Crosby. I thought that he was a great matchup for Crosby. That's going to be tested a little bit here, obviously, with Zdeno gone. But I just think that they've had a great job of capitalizing on the power play against this Penguins team over the years, as well as the advantages is in net have been huge. But mainly, I think it's special teams, and I think that's what you may see this week as well. The Bruins' power play is clicking. Pittsburgh's goaltending with Tristan Jarry and Casey DeSmith hasn't been that great. Jarry's playing a little bit better here of late, but he entered the weekend with I think, an .820 save percentage. So not a great start for him. The Bruins, if they can get some goals, I think they'll be okay, just because they found ways to shut down the Penguins on home ice.
You were, I know, before the Flyers series, Ty, you were frustrated with Charlie Coyle and felt like he hadn't done the kind of things you expect him to do. What does he need to do to get his game to that next level?
Well, I think you saw more of it over the series against the Flyers. He's a dominant puck possession center, and he can do a lot of good, you know, when he has it and drawing guys to him. Playing a more straight line game to the front of the net, I think you saw that. He's a good fit with Craig Smith in that regard, so I think that's a good line. It's a good combination. I think their chemistry is starting to come. But mainly, I think when Coyle is moving and not trying to do everything, you know, for his line, he's facilitating, he's passing, he is knowing when to take his chances. I think he can give you a lot, and I think you're beginning to see that here with him. I love that fit with Frederick on their left side. I think that's what the lineup was supposed to have. It was supposed to be Nick Ritchie there, but he's been bumped up to the second line, so you need that big body there because it opens up more space for Coyle and Smith to do what they do well, again, which is possession, winning one-on-one battles, and using their strengths to their advantages. So I think if you see that combination stick, I think you're going to see more of what you saw on Saturday night.
So you think this is the start of a potentially good stretch for the Bruins?
I do, but I'm wondering what's going to happen after these two games here. I think they match up well against Pittsburgh. But after that, you have Washington, and we know that the thorn they've been in the Bruins' side for years. One thing the Bruins have going in their advantage is that Washington is missing a lot of players right now due to COVID. They don't have their starting goaltender. Ilya Samsonov is out right now. Ovechkin's out right now. And Tom Wilson's out right now as well. So you're going to have to wait and see what their lineup looks like. But this really could be the start of something good for them if those injuries pan out in the Bruins' favor come this weekend.
Ty Anderson, 98.5, the Sports Hub in Boston. Ty, love talking Bruins with you. Appreciate it as always. Enjoy the games this week, and we'll catch up with you again very soon.
Awesome. Sounds great. Thank you.
Thanks, Ty.